Today we're going to look at what I consider an old classic of a teaching. This is one Dr. Werwell used to teach. I remember it from when I was in high school, and he continued to teach it. I think he taught it at Living Victoriously with some modifications, and I know I've taught it with a few modifications of my own through the years, but it's just one of the most practical, useful, helpful teachings for me personally, so I certainly hope it helps you. Dr. Werwell called it the secret of radiant living. It's just the way to live a radiant life by looking to God. And his basic thesis, which we'll see in the Word, is very simple. If you look to yourself and focus on your own problems, you'll just become miserable. If you look at other people and focus on their successes or failures, you'll just get distracted. But if you can look to God, you'll be both very peaceful and very radiant. Your whole life will be lit up. So that's what we'll read about in God's Word today. And let's start today in Psalm 77. Here we go in Psalm 77. We read here in verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Isn't that great? He listened. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. So he was obviously having a very tough time. Verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Verse 4, Thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. So he was having a very tough time. He was thinking about his problems. He was just miserable, because he had problems, and all he was doing was thinking about his problems, and he sort of looked to God, but all he was really focusing on was his problems. Then he says, verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? And you hear a lot of people talk about that, you know, God made the earth and then retired, and he doesn't care about people anymore. But that's not what we see in the Scriptures. Verse 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Now instead of thinking about his problem, he's starting to remember God and God's great deliverance. By the way, that's our theme at camp this week, is God's deliverance. Verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the right hand of the Most High. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. See, he's changing his focus. Instead of just thinking about God, his own problems, he's starting to think about God. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So he does finally get a little bit around to looking at God, but look back in verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking, I'm so troubled I can't speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. So he spent so much time thinking about his own problems, he just got miserable. And we all have to deal with issues in our lives. If you got a problem, you got to deal with it. You got to attack it. But then at some point, you got to take your eyes off of yourself and look to God. Because if you look to God, you're just, if you spend all your time thinking about yourself, and like some people used to say, contemplating your navel, I'm not sure where that came from, but it's a term that just means think about your own self. If that's all you think about, you'll get miserable. Just try it someday. Spend all day tomorrow thinking about yourself, because if you start thinking about yourself too much, you'll find you have problems, you'll find you have shortcomings, you'll find there are things that aren't working so well, and you'll get miserable. Proverbs 18 has another verse here of interest. In verse 2, that's not the verse I want. Oh, I'm in Psalms 18. No wonder. It's not the right one. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. I know there's a lot of great interest in understanding yourself, and there's value to that. That was a great goal of all Greek philosophers, to know thyself, and there is value to that. But if all you do is know yourself and you don't know God and don't know how to get help from God, that can be very limiting. So we don't want to just look to yourself. You'll get miserable. Now, what a lot of people do while they're looking at themselves is they compare themselves to everybody around them. They say, I'm a mess. Now, I hope the other people around me are as big a mess as I am, because then I won't feel so bad. The whole idea of misery enjoys company. Well, God talks about that as well. Psalm 73. Here in Psalm 73. Here we go. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had... But as for me, verse 2, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he got all upset because he was envious. And that's just sort of human nature. You can be happy, 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 and like everything you have till your neighbor gets something bigger and better. Then all of a sudden you think what you have isn't so good. And that can happen in any area of life. Pick any aspect of your life you want. If there's somebody who has something you don't want or is good at something you're not, you can feel inferior, you can feel failure, you can get jealous and envious, and it's just a distraction. Because it really doesn't matter who else is around. And something I found years and years ago, no matter where you are in life, there will always be somebody better off and somebody worse off. You know, unless you're Bill Gates, there's always somebody with more money than you, and there's probably a lot of people with a whole lot less than you have. So you can't be comparing yourself. And pick anything else. Pick any other area of life. Mental ability, spiritual ability, walking with God, physical strength. Just pick anything you want. There's going to be somebody who's better than you. There's going to be somebody who's better than you and somebody that's not as good as you. It's just the nature of life. So being envious at the foolish, saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look at verse 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. So we can go on and on, getting all distracted with these other people. But there is no benefit to it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And don't worry, we're going to get over this pretty soon. 2 Corinthians 10. Oh, by the way, keep an eye on your emails, because in a few weeks, Brian and I are going to switch to a new phone number, a slightly better phone service than this. So this one will work for a couple more weeks, but then we're going to switch. So keep your eyes open for the email alert. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. There's no value in comparing yourself to another person. Because there are going to be areas of your lives where you're head and shoulders above me. Because of your background, your abilities, your circumstances, everybody, everything about you, you're going to succeed in areas where I don't do well at all. And there will be areas where I may do a whole lot better than you. Maybe for reasons totally beyond your control and my control. But it doesn't matter. What matters is that you look to God and trust God to take care of you, and I look to God to trust him to take care of me. And whether I'm good at something and you're lousy at it, or you're good at something, I'm getting confused, but we're different. The point is, I may be good at something and you're no good at it, you may be good at something and I'm no good at it, but so what? That doesn't matter. What matters is that we each have a part to play in the body, and God will provide for each of us. He doesn't expect you to be me. He doesn't expect me to be you. He doesn't expect you to be each other. So comparing yourselves to one another is just a distraction. Now, that's not to say that if somebody is really good at something and can inspire you by their example, that's okay. That's great. But to spend all my life comparing myself to somebody else and getting downhearted and distracted because I'm not as good as they are, as successful as they are, there's no value to that. I can look at somebody who's good at something and it can inspire me to try harder or be a little better. That's great. But to have it be distracting to where I'm obsessed with it and focusing on it, there's just no value to that. So you look to yourself, you get miserable. You look to others, you get distracted. Now here's where we wanted to get. You look to God and you be radiant. That is exactly what we want to do. Let's take a look at that in Psalm 34. Here we go in Psalm 34. We don't want to look to ourselves and get miserable. We don't want to look to others and get distracted. We want to look to God and get peacefully radiant. And here in Psalm 34, we read, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and what? Delivered me from all my fears. So instead of looking to himself and seeing what a mess he's in, instead of being envious at the prosperity of the wicked, he sought the Lord. And we know this, but it's great to be reminded of it, and it's great to see it in different ways in the Word, that that's always the answer to life. Anytime I hear somebody that's just complaining about things beyond their control, whether it's something in their past, whether it's something of people around them, whether it's something in society or the world, there's just no value because you're just complaining about stuff that you have no control over and usually doesn't even really affect you. And even if it does, you have no control over it. What's the point? But you seek the Lord for help. Then you get delivered from all your fears. Look at verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened. And in other translations, that says radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. That's the way I try to live every day. Looking to God and being radiant. And on days when I remember to do that, and I focus my thinking on looking to God, I have great days. On days when I get distracted and think about my problems or compare myself to other people, I get miserable and distracted. But boy, on days when I look to God and I focus on his deliverance, it doesn't matter. And the great thing is it doesn't matter. God is not bound by my past or your successes or my successes or your failures or my failures or the circumstances around me. He's not bound by that. God is able to bring us deliverance and victory no matter what circumstance we're in. So verse 5, they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear, reverence the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want, no lack to them that fear him. Look at this, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Now, if you understand anything about the animal kingdom, which I'm not an expert of, I think lions are sort of near the top of the food chain, and the young ones tend to be the fastest and strongest. So if the young lions are lacking and suffer hunger, things are pretty bad. So if you're in a situation where even the strong, powerful ones aren't doing well, things are bad. But, second half of the verse, they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. So again, when things get tough, a lot of people will look at the circumstances and go, oh my gosh, even the young lions are hungry. Things are tough. But they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. That's why no matter whether you're in perfect circumstances or the worst circumstances imaginable, those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So you're going to have challenges. Even though we're righteous and born again, we're going to have challenges. But, the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So don't get too panicked when you see the afflictions. Just focus your eyes on God delivering you from them. Verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. But let's go back to verse 5. They looked unto him, and they were radiant. Radiant. That's how you become radiant in life. That's how your whole life is lit up. You look to God, and he provides whatever it is you may need. Go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. So along with radiant comes being very peaceful. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So when you trust in God and your mind is stayed or steady, it's fixed, it's looking to God, God will keep you in perfect peace. I don't know any other way to have perfect peace, because if I spend all my time looking at myself and trying to be peaceful and confident in myself, I'm going to run across a shortcoming and a mistake. If I spend all my time looking at you, I'm going to realize, well, hey, he's doing great, but what about me? But if I look to God, God's constant. God's always reliable. God always provides. So I'm going to have great peace knowing that God will provide for me. So thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Another one about looking to the Lord, here in Hebrews 12, when we get into the part of the scriptures where we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, we can also look to him, his great example. Hebrews, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. Here we go. Here's Hebrews 12. Here in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Well, let's go back to verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those great examples of the Old Testament believers, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. So that's how we run with patience the race that's set before us. We look to the example of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ obviously carried out God's will. He was the Word in the flesh, and that he was the living example of how to walk with God, and he continued to walk with God even though he had great challenges. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. See, we all have challenges, and we're all tempted to get wearied and faint, to just give up and just say, this isn't worth it. I'm not a great enough believer. God's not a big enough God. This isn't going to work. But that's just a temptation. Remember what Jesus Christ did. He went through much tougher challenges than you and I have ever dealt with, and God came through for him with deliverance in every case. So looking to him and his example is like looking to God our Father, because we get to see what God our Father did for him and how Jesus Christ trusted him. So it's the same idea of looking to God. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, Hebrews 3, 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So, it's interesting. Moses was faithful to continue to walk with God, and Jesus Christ was faithful in the same way. So, we should consider him. We should think about him. And here's a great one that we're all very familiar with. 2 Corinthians 4. Here in 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we don't look at the things which are seen, which is a bit of an oxymoron almost, contradiction. But we can't physically see the things of God, but we know about them through the Word and through just seeing in everyday life what God does for us. So those are the things we focus on. We look not at the things which are seen, everything around us, because that's the stuff we usually have problems with. But we look at the things which are not seen, God's deliverance, power of the Holy Spirit, God's promises to provide for us, the hope of the return of the Lord, and so many, many other great things we have being born again, the manifestations of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, so many great things. We keep our eyes on those. For the things which are seen, that problem in front of you, that truck that turned over, slowing down your commute, the machine that doesn't work, the person yelling at you over the phone, all the things we run into on a normal basis, they're temporary. They're temporary, but the things which are not seen, that aren't in front of your face making noise and causing you trouble, they are eternal. So again, it's where do you want to focus? And then you get into other simple, practical, obvious things that even unbelievers know about. Just a matter of being optimistic. Is the glass half full or half empty? Even without God, just knowing, am I going to focus on what I have and what's going well as opposed to what I don't have and what's going poorly? Even that is worthwhile. That's why there's, societies like Optimists International, where they just get together in meetings and try to see who can be more positive. That's a good thing. But we have a whole lot more than just a positive mental attitude. Positive mental attitude's good. But our positive mental attitude goes way beyond just me looking at the glass half full. That's a good thing. But it goes way beyond, because it goes to trusting God and believing that God can fill the glass up, even if there's no way to do it. Think of Gideon's wet rug one day and his dry rug the next day. See, God has all kinds of resources way beyond what you and I can imagine. So we don't look at things which are seen, we look at things which are not seen. Another one along those lines, Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Okay, Colossians 3:1. If, or since, and in the Greek, grammar here. It's very legitimate to translate that as since. Since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So we have to deal with things on the earth. You know, I'm here in California. I had to get a ticket. I had to pack a suitcase. I had to rent a car. I had to get gas. Jim and I had to go to In-N-Out Burger. We always do that on the West Coast. Things you got to do. That's just, if you want to get here, you got to deal with. Same thing with you. Same thing with Jackie driving across Montana. She had to pack her car. She had to get gas. She had to figure out what road to go on. We all have things we have to do. But then once you get those details taken care of, set your affection, your mind, your thinking, your vision on things above. There used to be some guy, I remember when I was a little kid, I'd flip around and there was some preacher had this show on TV. It was called Look Up and Live. I have no idea what he talked about or if he was any good, but the title, he might have been, I don't know, but the title was great. The title stuck with me, Look Up and Live. Get your mind off. And I even noticed that when I was a kid, if we were playing hide and go seek or something, if you'd climb up and sit in a tree, nobody ever saw you because they were looking down at the ground, seeing if you're hiding under a bush. But boy, if you'd climb up, you could just watch everybody walk back and forth because nobody looks up. Well, much more than hide and seek, look to God, look up, and then you will live. You'll have newness of life. So verse 4, to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, meaning we died with Christ, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's the great return of the Lord we look forward to. So you set your mind or thoughts on things above. So to sort of summarize what we've done, you look to yourself too much. It's good to think about your life and evaluate it, but if you spend all your time fixating on your life, you'll get miserable. You look to others, you get distracted. And again, don't go extreme. It's nice to look to other people and see if you can help them and pray for them. But if you get all fixated comparing yourself with them and trying to figure out why they're better or worse than you, it's just a distraction. But when you look to God, you become peacefully radiant. You're very peaceful and your whole life just glows because you know that God will be there to provide for you, and you know that he loves you, and you know that he will never fail you, and you know that he will provide and protect you, and he will send his son back so your body's changed and you have eternal life. So with all of those things, that's the way to live. Now, the conclusion of the matter, I'm going to add a little more material here about just the importance of loving God. The more I think about loving God, the more it's easier for me to keep my eyes on him. So let's go to Joshua chapter 22. We'll wrap this up with a few sections here. Joshua 22 in verse 1. Oh, and by the way, I'm delighted to teach remotely and consider it a great honor, and I appreciate you all calling in. But there will be times when I'm traveling and I can't call in. So if any of you have topics you've been working in the Word that you'd like to teach, either a short teaching along with a short one I do one Sunday or to teach the whole session one Sunday morning, just let me know. That's always available. I don't know if I've mentioned that recently. I do that from time to time, but it's always available. Just please send me an email or call me up or send me a text if you want to do that. You'd be more than welcome to, but just a matter of figuring out when to schedule it. Okay, Joshua 22, verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. This was the group, remember the children of Israel crossed the Jordan and, you know, won the battle of Jericho and then settled to the west of the Jordan? Well, there are a few tribes that wanted to settle on the east side of the Jordan. And the word of the Lord was, they can do it, but they have to go to the west side of the Jordan and help you conquer the unbelievers, then they can go back and claim their land. So these were the tribes that wanted to go back and live on the east side of the Jordan. So Moses or Joshua said to the Reubenites, Gadites, half-tribe Manasseh, verse 2, he said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. Verse 4, and now the Lord your God hath given rest, and now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possessions, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But look at this, verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. And what's the commandment? To love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So be very diligent to continue to love God and live his word. And doing that just helps you keep your eyes on God. Psalm 62. Here we go, Psalm 62. And verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Isn't that great? To just trust in him at all times. He's our rock. He's our strength. He's our refuge. Trust in him. Pour out your heart before him. You see, instead of me sitting there saying, woe is me, I'm a worm, I'm no good, my life is useless. Or instead of me sitting there saying, you are so together and I'm not, so I'm a mess. I just pour my heart out before God. I tell him what I need. I ask him for help. Because he's the source of our strength and salvation. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And a lot of matters are covered in Ecclesiastes. But here's the conclusion. Fear or reverence God and keep his commandments. So many things in life, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to think, oh, I'm doing pretty well here, but I'm not doing well there. And this other person's doing better there. I used to do so well here, and now I'm not doing so well. Woe is me. It's so easy to get in that frame of mind. We all do it from time to time. Every one of us. Sometimes we do it a lot. Hopefully we don't do it very often. But we all do from time to time. But life can be very simple. Have great respect for God and live his word. That's the whole duty of man. All these other details that everybody wants to bug you about and tell you, I've got to do this, got to do that, don't worry about it. Just have great reverence and respect for God and just live his word the best you can. He looks at your heart and he loves you. He'll accept you right where you are and work with you. Matthew 22. Couple more to wrap up here. Matthew 22 and verse 34. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Again, it's just very simple. You just love God, you love your neighbor, you look to God to take care of you, and God makes sure things work for you. In Romans 8, one to close here, very popular, very favorite one. Romans 8 has been referred to as the great Magna Carta of the Christian, showing that we don't need to live in condemnation, that we live as more than conquerors. Great stuff. Because there are plenty of people that will want to condemn you and tell you you're no good. Whereas God says there is no condemning you because Jesus Christ paid for your sins. And you are more than a conqueror. That's God's point of view. And I would much rather take God's point of view than somebody else thinking something about me or me thinking I'm a bum. Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And of course, the context is speaking in tongues to them who are the called according to his purpose. When we speak in tongues, which is praying perfectly according to the will of God, and we love God, and we endeavor to be the called according to his purpose, just to live his word, everything will work together for good. So it may look like things are a mess, and they may be. It may look like there's no way out of the situation you're in, but you speak in tongues, you love God, you endeavor to live his word, everything's going to work out. It may not work out the way you wanted it, when you want it, but it'll work together for good. Not because I said so, but because God promised it. And we've all had situations in our life where it didn't look like there was any way out of the situation we were in. But we prayed, we decided to love God and trust him, we decided to look to him, and he always came through. And God will. So if you've got a great week planned with all of your favorite stuff on the agenda, hallelujah, enjoy it. If you got the lousiest week of your life ahead with the stuff you've been dreading for years and you finally got to face up to it, hallelujah. Either way, look to God and God will come through with victory. Again, not my opinion. It's what God promised and he'll do it. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. I thank you that we can look to you. I thank you that you are so faithful. I thank you that we have the joy of meeting together, sometimes in person, sometimes over the phone, but always to hear manifestations, always to pray, always to hear your word. And may this be a wonderful week filled with trusting you, looking to you, and just getting our eyes off of our problems and our emotions and our challenges onto your great victory and your great deliverance and your ability to make our lives peacefully radiant. I pray for a perfect, wonderful week, and that although we'll have challenges, you will bring us great victory and deliverance, and at the end of this week, we will be even more confident in your deliverance than we were when it started. Thank you for this. Pray for safe travels for those on the road. A great week for everybody, no matter what they may be dealing with. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, love you guys. If the Lord tarries, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Until then, let's keep praying for each other, okay? Okay, thanks. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Has left the conference.
Is that a call?
Yeah.
Actually, I should see Zach in 2 weeks because he's supposed to come for the men's advance.
Here you go.
Just thinking how with Zach's parents, you know, concern for your children is always one of the things you do.
Right.
Then you know, they've been calling in, and you know, they saw you last week and been calling in all of that. And then I pop up here, who was, you know, helped Zach a couple of weeks ago. And then, you know,
it's really good. They must, I mean, if anything's going to make them confident that somebody's keeping an eye on their son, I think it would work. Yeah.
I mean, just the way God put the thing together, with him coming to that, and then the two of us here, and it's like all of a sudden, here's somebody 25 years I haven't talked to, and boom, they pop up twice in two different places, you know, and they're going to help take care of my kid.
It's going to help them.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun. That worked out very nicely.
I didn't
stop recording yet. Hi, guys.